Blog Talk Radio.
Everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of their music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality. Side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Yes, that's right. And today we are talking to Rebecca from the book Rebecca Rising. Rebecca Rising is a personal story about Rebecca, by Rebecca. And that's what Tippy Talk is all about. We always talk here about personal stories and how important they are. I think one of the biggest, most important things in life are personal stories that end up being the biggest gift that you can give to the world. And because of that, I am really excited about today, because we not only have a personal story, but we also have a book about that story, which Rebecca was brave enough to write. I have to tell you, it's a very, very big, bold step to write about your personal story. There's so many issues with families and friends that you have to deal with. As a matter of fact, I have a personal story that I want to write that my sisters are horrified. I'm going to do it anyway, but I'm probably going to lose my sisters. So some stories that you tell that are personal are very courageous. Rebecca's story starts with her picture perfect life, married, children, successful husband, three happy kids, a great house, dog. And you know that cliche, which I really don't like cliches, that says, don't judge a book by its cover? Well, this book's cover is about to get blown. I'd like to welcome Rebecca Thompson into Tippy Talk. Thank you so much for joining us, Rebecca, and welcome to Tippy Talk.
Thank you, Tippy. I'm so excited to be here, and it's great to be in the Tippy Zone. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And really, you are welcome into the Tippy Zone. And I have to tell you, the two most biggest things that I'm passionate about is books. I love to read and I love to write, and personal stories, because nothing fascinates me more than that. There are a lot of things that fascinate me, but nothing fascinates me more than people's ability to survive such crazy, crazy circumstances. So before you tell us about your picture-perfect life, why don't you set the background a little bit with how you grew up?
Sure. So I started life as a small-town girl in western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area, and I was raised in the Presbyterian church and always sang in the choir and taught Sunday school and all those kinds of things. It just was kind of a nice, normal small town girl. I went to college at Penn State and I majored in industrial engineering. And that's where I met my now ex-husband, who was also an engineering student. And we got married right after we got out of college. And we moved to Rochester, New York, where I got a job as an industrial engineer with Eastman Kodak Company. And he also got an engineering job. And, you know, as we were telling your listeners, we got a house and a dog, literally put up a white picket fence and started raising three babies. And things were just nice and normal, and just life was progressing along and in a great way until all of a sudden it wasn't.
I have to tell you something. When I was single, which was most of my life on and off, I was told three separate times that if I want to meet a good guy, I should go to engineering school because it's mostly male, no female. And I guess they were right. You did it.
That's true. Maybe I should go back.
Oh, yeah, why bother going on dating sites and single events? Just go to engineering school.
That's very true. There weren't very many women, especially in the 80s when I was there. So there are probably more women now, but
yeah,
it's probably still pretty good.
Yeah, probably more women now, but really I think it's more attractive to men than it is to women to be an engineer.
Yeah, I think for the most part that's true.
So that beautiful white picket fence fell down and the dog ran away, and what happened?
Yeah, so what happened next, as I said, life was just going along, and my husband started his own business, and this was something he had always wanted to do. He was very ambitious, and things were going along well for a few years, but then the economy turned, and his business wasn't doing as well, clients weren't paying, and he started to drink. And we'd always, I came from a family that didn't drink at all, so I was never around drinking. But when I went off to Penn State, there was lots of drinking, and I thought it was cool. I thought it was fun because it was something I'd never been exposed to. So, at college, we were drinking beer. And then when we graduated, started opening a bottle of wine at dinner and that kind of thing. So we were drinking, not to excess, but we were drinking just as a normal part of our lives. But he started to drink a lot to the point that he was passing out most nights. And then his business was failing, and things just started to unravel from there.
See, people think, I actually heard someone today who was an alcoholic who just stopped drinking, and another guy who was an alcoholic and said that he wasn't an alcoholic, he can control his drinking, that it's really weird if you don't drink because it's just weird. I really think it's weird if you do drink. I don't see anything unweird about it. And people think it's so cool to have a glass of wine with dinner because it's a specific wine for specific. I just think it's really weird. But I don't want to get off in the drinking and the alcoholism and all that, because I am fascinated by the name of your book, Rebecca Rising. And I'm wondering, and I love that. It's catchy, and it's actually tell something about you and what you did. How did you come up with this great title?
When things started to go sour, I really felt like I was down. I was just depressed and sad, and my circumstances were down. My finances weren't good. My relationship wasn't good. And I ended up actually changing my name. My given name is Rebecca, but I went by Becky all my life since I was a little girl. And when I did begin to change my life and ended up getting divorced and moving across the country and getting a different job, and I changed so much about my life that I decided that I needed a new name to honor that. And so I started to go by Rebecca, and I tell a little bit about that in the book too. It was a little awkward at first, but so it really was a story of becoming a new person and rising from the circumstances that I was in. And so it just came to be Rebecca Rising.
Wow. First of all, I love the name Rebecca. And I have to tell you that there is a geometric number that's assigned to every name. And you know how energy works around you. And when you change your name, you literally change the energy around you by every time people say the name. And you actually can change your destiny. I don't know what the specific numbers are and what the specific alphabet correlation is, but I do know, like for me also, like Tippi is my nickname. And if I would go to my birth name, it would be the same thing, like Rebecca and Becky is a nickname. Mm-hmm. But they tell me that if you go to a name that ends with a with an A, it's a name that gives you more power. And so whenever whenever somebody says Rebecca, it makes you more powerful person, more able to take control than Becky, which a lot of people don't realize how significant your name and the energy of what your name puts out is and the numbers that stand behind your name, how powerful it is.
Wow, that is so exciting, Phoebe. I'm going to look into that. I'd like to know more about that. That's awesome.
Definitely. Look at the number that Becky comes up with and look at the number, Rebecca. If I find somebody, a person that's like an expert in that, I will definitely let you know, because somebody, I don't remember who it was, I think it was a Kabbalist that actually broke down somebody's name, and she did the same thing. Her name was Debbie growing up, and she changed her name back to Deborah because they told her it was more along her power line, again, with the I at the end. But I will, if I do find it, I'll let you know. But definitely look into it. That's really interesting, though, instinctively you did that. It wasn't anybody told you anything. You just felt like, I'm changing my life. I'm taking a stand. And you see, it's really amazing.
Yeah, it happened by accident in a way. I was at a class on, I think it was on crystals, learning about the powers of crystals and that kind of thing. And I was asked my name, and I said Becca, which I had always gone by Becky, and it just came out. And then later, somebody asked me again, like, you know, kind of, oh, I forgot what you said your name was. And I said, Becky, because that was what I was used to. And she said, and then another person in the room said, well, which is it, Becky or Becca? You know, I felt really dumb, because, you know, I introduced myself two different ways. But then I thought about it, and it's like, wow, that's what I want. I want to change my name. I want to be Rebecca now.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. And I just so identify with you. And also, when people start calling you a different name, it does feel strange. It feels really weird at first. I had, right? Because I had a lot of experience with that. When I first came to the United States, I was 10 years old, and nobody could pronounce my name because my name has a sound that doesn't exist in English. And I would try names like Cindy, Jill, Donna, and it felt so weird. People calling me different names really does feel weird.
Yeah, but you know when it's the right one, right? You knew.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
When Tiffy felt right.
I don't know. It just feels like you knew that instinctively. It came to you out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. It's not out of nowhere. I know that it was some sort of a reason why, but it still seems like very random. But I don't think it was.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
It's about following your heart, I think. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to your intuition and you follow your heart, things happen in ways that you can't explain, and maybe you don't even want to explain. So what happened with your husband once you realized that his drinking was a problem?
So, well, he ended up getting two DUIs, you know, driving under the influence.
Wow.
And, so that was a pretty bad experience. And, of course, it hurt our relationship and our family and our finances. And, you know, I was getting more and more fed up. But I also, I kept, when I got married, I thought I'll be married for life. And I didn't want to give up. And so there was a part of me that was, I want to keep having a fresh start and, you know, making it right and making it better. Maybe I could do something to fix this. And then, you know, there was another part of me that just was getting more and more unhappy, right? And I think reaching out for something new, something better for myself. And I do think I was divinely guided. You know, I started going to different classes and getting invited to things. And, you know, as I said, I'd kind of grown up in a very narrow point of view and had never been exposed to anything metaphysical. But I started getting invited to these things like Reiki classes and dowsing classes and things about crystals and all kinds of things. And I was going. And I think I was really just seeking something to make me feel better. I wasn't happy, and I just was looking for something out there that, you know, either to distract me or make me feel better somehow.
So, yeah, go ahead. So what happened after that?
So what happened after that I also, at the same time, you know, I'm still living in the corporate world, right? I was an industrial engineer, and then I moved into a job as a organization development consultant, which is about leadership development and team building, working with groups to help them be more effective. And I was asked to be in charge of a coaching program at the company where I worked. And so in order to do that, I needed to get some training in what was coaching all about. So I went off to a coaching program and was supposed to learn how to be a coach, which I did, but I also received a lot of wonderful coaching because a lot of times they would pair us up with other people in the class and we'd coach each other. You know, so I learned a lot just from not only my instructors, but from other people in the class. So taking this coaching class and meeting some new people, and they taught us this process where if you're trying to make up your mind about something, you kind of like name all those voices in your head, you know, when you're trying to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And one voice is saying do this, and another voice is saying do that. Not like creepy voices, but, you know, just like an angel on each shoulder kind of thing, you know, telling you what to do. So I'm trying to make a decision about my marriage. And by this time, my ex had started changing jobs. You know, he would lose his job. He was a good engineer, and he'd get another job pretty quick, but then it wouldn't last very long because they'd find out he was drinking or something would go wrong. And so he's going to move out of state again, and I'm trying to decide, should I go with him? And one part of me is saying, well, this would be a fresh start. This would be so great, and I want to make it work. You know, and another part of me is like, I'd be crazy to go with this guy. You know, it's getting worse and worse. It's not, you know, he's not doing anything but his drinking, and I'd be leaving all my support systems, and I'd have to start over with a new job and all these things. So in the coaching program, they had us sort out all these different voices and actually even give them names and have them talk to each other. You know, so they're talking about the pros and cons of their position on this thing. So I did that, and I had all these voices. And then I had a dream that all my voices were sitting around the table talking, and this other being just flew in and started yelling at them, saying, "You're missing the point. You're all missing the point." And I remember telling my coach partner in the program about this, and she said, you know, something's going on there, you know, there's something. And she came from a very different background, different perspective. So for one thing, she was a recovering alcoholic, so she was able to help me with some of the alcoholism things that I was experiencing with my now ex. And the other thing was, she's a practicing witch and a professor of medieval history, and was very versed in mythology and gods and goddesses and all those kinds of things. So she's saying, I think that the goddess trying to talk to you, and she's going to come at you some other way. So be watching for signs. And I was like, this is freaky, right? I don't know what's going on. So one night, not long after that, my dog woke me up. You know, we were talking about the dog. The dog woke me up and needed to go out. It's the middle of the night. I don't want to go out, but I do. I take her outside, and there's this big full moon, and it was suddenly like the moon was talking to me, and it was just the weirdest thing. I'm like, am I really awake? But she said the same thing that the being in my dream had said, that you're missing the point. You're missing the point. I was like, what do you mean? You know what do you mean? She's like, it's not about whether you stay or go, whether you move or don't move, what city you live in. It's how do you want to feel? How do you want to be? So that, I think, was a huge turning point for me.
Mm-hmm. And what was the point that you were missing?
The point was, you know, and we ended up having many, many conversations after that. And I told my friend from the coaching class about this, and she said, it seems like the moon was talking to you. I think that you're dealing with the goddess Diana or Artemis. You know, that's the goddess of the moon. And she said, you need to study up on her, learn more about her, which I did, and listen, you know, just listen to what she says. So a lot of it was just me being so busy all the time, you know, just keeping busy and doing all these things and not slowing down and just listening to my heart and what do you really want? And I was just so stressed, thinking I had to control everything and that I had to make things happen and keep the family running and all of these things that I was doing. And it was just more about, you know what, just slow down, calm down, listen, and your heart will tell you what you really want. And it really took me a long time to get that message. So that was the point. You know, it wasn't about, you know, you've got to do all these things and you've got to make decisions and you've got to make things happen. It was, you know, just allow, surrender, you know, surrender to the guidance that the universe is trying to give you. And it will all unfold the way it's supposed to if you just follow your own heart.
That sounds so beautiful. You got me. Following your own heart is one of those things that a lot of people say, but I'm not sure that everybody really understands what that means. It sounds really simple, and it sounds straightforward. But if somebody were to ask you, what do you mean by follow your own heart? How would you say, how would you explain that?
Yeah, Tippi, that was such a big question for me too. I felt the same way. It sounds really simple. It's like when people would always tell you, be yourself. What does that mean? No, who am I? I don't know how to be myself. Mm-hmm. How do I follow my heart? What does that even mean? And it's really about noticing what you love and what you don't. You may have heard the term emotional guidance system. So it's just kind of noticing how things make you feel, right? So you start going down a path and it makes you feel kind of crappy or nothing seems to be going right and you run into a lot of obstacles. Well, you're going down the wrong path. So maybe kind of retreat a little bit, try something different. There's no obstacles in your path. Everything goes smoothly. Everything is easy. It makes you feel great. You're having fun. Other things start to happen. Good things start to happen. You meet somebody else or, you know, something else happens along the way that just it smooths your way. So it's about that. It's just kind of noticing the, you know, what the results of things that you do. Sometimes you have to try things and they're not the right things. And you have to kind of retreat and try something else. And that's okay because you've learned something. But it's really just all about noticing what you love, how the way is smooth when you are doing the things that you're truly meant to do. And then it just kind of evolves from there. And it's a journey, you know, still learning it.
Yeah, so it is hard to put into words, I think. It's very difficult. So you have voices in your head. And I'm asking you specifically to be more specific about it because I know that you had to go through a lot of soul searching and painful processes in order to be able to find out which direction you want to go. Because I feel like you were kind of stuck. Okay, I'm married to this guy. I was going to spend the rest of my life in this house with the white picket fence. But is that what I really want? Is that what my heart wants? And because you went through that, So you have these voices in your head that say a lot of negative things and a few positive things thrown in from time to time. And that's if you go by your head. How do you take it from those voices and say, tell your heart, okay, heart, now you talk to me. I don't want to talk to my head anymore. It's still got to go to your head somewhere along the line. No, it's got to go from your heart to your head to your conscious awareness.
True.
Or does it?
Well, one thing I notice about myself and that I tell others as well is that if you find yourself saying should a lot, that is a clue that you may not be listening to your heart, that you're probably listening to your head or what other people expect of you. Well, I should do this. I should stay married because that's what you're supposed to do. You know, that's probably a clue. Or I
supposed
should keep
to,
the job because it has good benefits, you know, where if it's, if you find yourself just saying, well, I should, instead of like, well, what would really make your heart sing? What would make you happy? What would, you know, forget about what you should do. And, you know, it's not that easy. You don't just quit your job tomorrow because of that, you know, but you start at least paying attention to what you love and start taking steps in that direction, even very small steps.
So you actually went through a process until you made a decision that you're going to walk away from the marriage. And you took the coaching, you took a lot of different self-improvement type of classes, you're saying? The rising part of Rebecca feels like like you feel like when you say that, it's like rising of the phoenix, like I'm rising, and I'm powerful enough now to take the first bold step. And then you keep learning and getting better and better, and then you're strong enough to take the second bold step, right? What was the first thing you did to break through your business as usual type of thing?
I think one of the first things was making the move to California. I was still married, and I was still married, and I was unhappy in my job. It was a good company, and I had enjoyed the job for a number of years, but it was just getting wasn't fresh for me anymore, and there weren't new opportunities for me in that company. So I was kind of bored and was looking for something new, and found, just actually quite by accident, a job description that I fell in love with. And I just loved the sound of the work itself. It just really appealed to me. But it was in California, and I was in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I kept telling myself the story that I can't go to California because I'm married, because my children are here, even though my children were all in college by then. You know, I can't. It was just too far, too drastic of a change. Can't do it. And I would start to tell people, I carried this job description around with me. I printed it out and carried it around with me for some weeks just because I wanted to apply, but I didn't think I could. And so I'd start to share it with people that I trusted, you know, hey, read this and what do you think? And it's like everybody would say, yeah, that sounds perfect for you. You should do that. And I'd say, I can't. I can't. Well, why can't you? Well, I just can't, you know?
Finally,
something happened at my existing job that just made me angry, quite frankly, and I just, oh, I'm going to apply for that job. So I sat down, and almost immediately I got a call from the company, and they said, hey, come out and see us, and, you know, and I was still telling myself this story that, well, you can't take this job, it's too far away. And I was treating it like a practice interview. That's what I kept telling everybody. Well, I got this interview, but it's just for practice. Everybody should do a practice interview once in a while, you know, but I just kept moving towards it anyway. I guess, you know, something about my soul knew that I was supposed to take that job, but I just, you know, and at that time, my ex, now ex, I was still married to him, was getting jobs and losing them, And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this. And I did. I took the job, and he had just lost a job. So he said, well, I'll just come out there with you and look for a job, which he did, and he got one. And he lived with me for about a year and a half, maybe, not quite 2 years, before we did end up splitting up. But I think that was the first really big step, you know, that I'm going to do this, you know, whether you're coming or not, I'm doing it.
So you got the job, obviously.
Yes.
And you went to California, LA, specifically area. Mm-hmm. And you left your husband at home just like that? You said, hey, hubby, I'm going to LA. Bye. Like that? Or was it a long?
It all happened really fast, to be honest. I got the job offer, and literally the same week he was laid off from a job in Raleigh. And I viewed that as a sign. Well, maybe he's supposed to come with me. But he stayed behind for a while. We had a house. And so he stayed behind. I moved out there and I ended up living in a hotel for a few months. But he was getting the house ready to sell and actually did a lot of work to prepare for us to move out there. And, you know, so getting the house ready to sell and all of that stuff. And meanwhile, he was applying for jobs out there. And he got a job within just a few months. So he came out. We sold our house in North Carolina. And I thought, okay, you know, I kept always thinking it was going to be a fresh start and everything was going to be great. I don't know if you want to call it denial or just over optimism or what, but, you know, what I had hoped that it would be a fresh start and things would get better, but it didn't. He was just so far deep in the alcoholism at that point that, you know, he got a job, he kept it for 6 months. He got another job, he kept it for 6 months. And I just kind of got fed up and like, you know, you need to stop drinking or, you know, do something about your life or that's it. And chose to not do anything about it. And so I was going to Al-Anon regularly then, which is a wonderful support group for people who are concerned about someone else's drinking, or, you know, Alcoholic Anonymous is for the actual alcoholics, but Al-Anon is for, you know, people who are concerned about someone else's drinking. So I was going regularly to that, and it was very helpful as well. Wonderful support group. And there's no judgment. You know, they don't encourage you to leave or not leave. They're just kind of there for you because they're all going through similar things. And so I was going there, and that helped me be strong. I listened to a lot of other people's stories and what they did and didn't do. And that started to help me formulate in my mind, you know, I'm not going to be like this one, or I am going to be like that one. And, you know, it just, I heard a lot of different scenarios, and I was able to sort out in my mind, yeah, I could tolerate this, but not that. So that helped me as well. And I finally went to see an attorney. First I went to see a financial guy, and I didn't think I could make it on my own. You know, I didn't know if I could make it. I'd never lived alone ever in my life. I had never lived alone, and I was worried that I couldn't make it on my own. And so I went to see a financial guy, and he actually helped me get my attorney. And so I went to see her, and she advised me, she said, don't do anything right now, because at the time I didn't have a job. And she said, he'll see you for spousal support, so wait till he gets a job and then you can file. So a few months went by and he didn't get a job, and I finally called her back and I said, no, I've got to do this, I've got to do it now. And so we did. And
Was it a hard, difficult divorce, or a kind of more or less easy?
It was somewhat hard. He did actually see me for spousal support at first, and you know, we had some ups and downs, but you know, it finally worked itself out.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. It sounds like you've been through a lot, but also you came out smiling, which is really great. So,
I sure did.
So if somebody wants to hear more about your story, which I think would probably be fascinating, I have someone on the line here, which I usually don't take random people to ask questions. I don't know who it is. I don't know where they linked into this. But they said they wanted to ask you something about your esoteric vision. Do you have any kind of esoteric opinion about esoterics?
About esoterics, I'm not. They say more about that. My esoteric vision. So my vision for myself.
Do you want me to bring him in so you can ask? I think his name is Patrick. I can try to bring him in and see what the question is, and then after that we'll find out where we can get your book. We'll see if we can even hear him, because sometimes the connection isn't that great. So one second, let me see if I can. Patrick, stand by. I'm going to bring him in and see if he can hear me. Hi, Patrick. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, awesome. So you said
can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you very well. Rebecca, can you hear him?
Yes,
very well.
Okay, Patrick, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I really appreciate everything that you're talking about. And when I talk about esotericism, it's on a spiritual level, because I heard you talking about, you know, your relationship with a particular person, they're drinking, you're dealing with these visions that you're getting, which is what we call lucid dreaming. That's when you are actually awake during the dream, but you really don't know you're awake during the dream.
Oh, yeah. Like
when
she heard that voice saying, you're missing the point, that was actually elusive.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, I see.
She
was actually awake
at the time.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Now, here's what I want you to understand. That's a gift. Very few people understand what that means. And when I talk to people about esotericism, what they don't understand is that everything that you were talking about was very esoteric, because you go into history, you go into genealogy, you go into, you know, how a person was brought up, how you're relating to a person, and all of these things become an umbrella. They open up and they show you everything that you're dealing with. And you said something that was very important when you related to drinking. I tried to deal with that, but then I realized I couldn't deal with that. And then I realized the person was telling me what I wanted to hear, but at the same time, I wasn't getting the results. However, at the same time, you were getting the facts. That's the lucid dream. You were being, you were actually being shown the truth.
Thank you for that, Patrick. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. That is wonderful. And we are running out of time, so I'm going to put you on hold. But I put my contact information for you, so contact me so we can take it further. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Regan, okay. Can you tell us now where we can go get your book if somebody is interested in purchasing a copy?
Absolutely, Tippi. It is available on Amazon. If you look for Rebecca Rising by Rebecca Thompson, you will find it on Amazon in both paperback and on Kindle version. And I also have a website, which is evolvewithoutlimits.com, and you can find links to the books there as well.
A minute, let me get that down because I'm going to put that in the description. So it's Evolve Without Limits, one word?
Yes. All one word.
EvolveWithoutLimits.com. That's for the book sales or your personal website?
That is a personal website, but there are links to the books there as well.
Ah, beautiful. Sounds wonderful. Thank you so much, Rebecca. It's really been a pleasure talking to you. And I'm really looking forward to reading your book and hearing more about you. And I understand you have a second book coming up soon, right? Or is it already out?
Yes, that is correct. It's actually out as well. It came out very recently, and it is called Sunday at 8:30, Two Decades of Life Planning. It was, and I'll just really quickly tell you where that title comes from. It was co-written with my friend Darlene Ryan, who is a character in my book, Rebecca Rising. You'll meet her. But we've worked together for many years, and we do a life planning process together where we do visioning and goal setting, and we read books together, and all kinds of things, and we've documented our process in our book called Sunday at 8:30. And the reason for that title is we used to live in the same city, but I'm in Rochester, New York, and then when I moved to Raleigh, North Carolina, we made a pact that we would speak each week and not lose touch, and we have kept that promise. And so our time that we landed on after some trial and error was that every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. we would connect, and that's Eastern time, which now is 5:30 for me in California, but it's still 8:30 for her in New York. But we talk every week and have done so for many years. So that book is called Sunday at 8:30, and it's got a little workbook in it, too, for people to create their own life plan. And I do have a coaching process that revolves around that as well. So, again, visit my website to learn more about that. And you can find that book on Amazon as well.
I love that title, Sunday at 8:30. You know, titles are one of those things that are very tricky for me and very hard to find good titles. So this is like Rebecca Rising. Really nice title. Sunday at 8:30 is very appropriate and really cool. And by the way, I have been to Raleigh. I have a friend that still lives there. She loves it because it's near Duke University. Wow. And she's a doctor, and so she goes to Duke University to do her classes all the time. I loved it. I had a great time there. I even went out on a date with a local person. But I think he might have been married.
Great.
It was really fun. It was really, really nice. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for joining us. It has been such a pleasure talking to you. And like I said, I'm really hoping to hear more, way more things about you.
Thank you so much, Tippi. I appreciate the opportunity to be your guest. It was my very great pleasure.
And do you have any last thought that you want to throw out there?
I just want people to know that you have more power than you know. And that you can create the life that you want. And so go for it because you're worth it.
Wow, I can't even say anything after that because that's a great way to end. So we've come to the end of our time together here on Sippy Talk. Again, I really want to thank you, Rebecca, for joining us. Not only that you healed yourself, but now through your story, I think a lot of people will have the courage to take the steps that they want to take and to heal themselves. When you go through trauma and you go through life challenges, you either fold up and hide out, or you rise to the occasion. And that is why I love the title, Rebecca Rising. Rebecca chose to rise to the occasion and not only make it, but make it available and take that gift that she got out of it and make it available for everybody else. And that's exactly the kind of people that we are looking for at Sippy Talk. If we want a great description of who we want on the show, it's Rebecca. Definitely Rebecca Thompson. It's been a great pleasure speaking to you. And don't forget, we do want your story. We are here to listen to your story and to share your gift. I guess people might be intimidated to follow Rebecca because it's hard to follow somebody that has been through that and was able to put that down in a book in a way that will actually help other people. But don't worry. If you don't think your story is that great, we are the ones to evaluate it. Let us decide how inspirational it is or how your story is going to be shown. You've been listening to Sippy Talk. My name is Sippy Feldstein. We bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. Thank you.